AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. We are live at the World Pork Expo, and it is time for this week's Farmer Forum. Real quick, I'm just going to go around and introduce everybody. We've got Trish Cook. She is the president of the Iowa Pork Producers Council. How are you doing, Trish? Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me here today. It's always exciting to come to Expo and, you know, see other producers and talk to folks we do business with every day, not necessarily in person, but to actually see them in person. But obviously, we wish we had a few other positive things going on in our industry right now, coming off of, you know, the Supreme Court decision with Prop 12 and markets. While they haven't been great, I've appreciated seeing the rebounding here recently.
Yeah. We're going to talk a lot more about those issues, Trish. Absolutely. Matt Ramosier, a producer from Washington County, Iowa, and Iowa State Extension Swine Field Specialist. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well. Yeah, no, great to be here. Just like Trish said, you know, it's great to be back at Expo. I always think that after we didn't have it there for a few years with ASF scare and COVID, it feels like a little bit more special reunion every time now that we went on about a three-year hiatus without having it. So it's good to be here at Expo. Nice day here in Iowa, so happy to be here.
And we might get some rain this afternoon.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
That would be good. That would be good. Pat Ford, a producer from Ohio. How you doing, Pat?
Good. Good to be here and made the trek out to Iowa. I always enjoy being here. Yeah. So, and hopefully we can send some rain our way as well. It's getting dry out here at our place. So.
Absolutely. Okay. Let's start with you, Pat. Tell us about your operation.
Yeah, so we have a diversified operation, farrow to finish swine operation. We have some beef cows and also a feedlot and crops and things. So, yep. So, but main focus is swine. So that's our largest part of our business. So
the old diversified operation right there, huh?
We do. Yeah. We still got a little old school going on.
Yeah. All right. Trish, tell us about your place.
Yeah. My husband, Aaron, and I farm in eastern Iowa where we have a farrow to finish hog farm, and we farm corn and soybeans. But not enough corn to feed all the pigs we raise, so we're on the open market buying corn regularly.
Trish,
as well.
I should know this. What county are you in?
Buchanan County.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm in Bremer County.
Yeah.
I was driving through Buchanan County this weekend checking out the crops, and
it's dry.
It is dry.
A few folks got some spotty rain maybe last Friday, and we were here already in central Iowa last night, but I think we maybe got a couple tents at home, which we haven't had rain for several weeks, so it's very, very dry.
We got an inch up at Bremer County, southern Bremer County yesterday. That's really good, really good. Washington County, Iowa.
It is. Yeah, it's dense down there.
Yep. It is, Matt. I mean, it's one of the most concentrated areas of pork production in the country.
Yep. And what's unique about Washington, and I would say, I mean, you see it across several pockets within the state of Iowa. But, you know, you've got all sorts of producers of different sizes, anywhere from large integrators to independents that have stood the test of time to some niche-type market producers. So, it's very diversified down there and very friendly. Obviously, we've got good infrastructure down there with lots of land and favorable counties to build and expand in. And then packing capacity onto both west and east of it. So, very favorable part of the state to be able to raise pigs.
Yep. Yeah. You're in the swine genetics business too, right?
Prior to working for Iowa State, I'd worked for swine genetic companies. I still maintain with my dad a small purebred operation, but it's small enough to I knew when I came back when I graduated out of Iowa State that I needed to be able to pursue a career off farm as well. And being able to work with Iowa State allows me to stay very involved in the pork industry and serve my community and be able to help producers in that area be successful. So it's good. Yep.
Good. Trish, you already brought it up, and we're going to talk about the number one issue that I mean, there's several issues that I guess could battle for the number one spot at the Pork Expo this week. But number one's got to be profitability. I mean, when you're dealing with losses the way that the industry is in, how does that change how you do business day to day?
I mean, definitely you're paying a lot of attention to your cash flow, not just on a yearly or monthly, but a weekly basis. You know, what's coming in, what's going out. It's one day at a time, one foot in front of the other. I just came from an economic outlook this morning with Dr. Meyer and Dr. Lee Schultz, and we're talking about the losses are worse than 98, which people are like, oh, 98, how'd you survive 98? Well, this is significantly worse than 98 on a, you know, a fair to finish per head loss that's going on. So as hog producers, I know we're always resilient. We're always trying to figure out how to do more with less. But yeah, it's intimidating, and, you know, still animal care is number one. That's the priority through all of this, is giving the top care to our animals. But it takes a lot of effort. And I always say at least on our farm, you have to have a good relationship with your lender to make sure that you have good communication going back and forth, to make sure that you can keep everything on track.
Yeah. Pat, is it changing the way that you're finishing the hogs? Are they going to town a little lighter or anything?
Yeah, we've taken a really close look at that. Some of our systems and things where you already have built-in space, it's at times, it's when you take that out of the equation, you really can't afford to go too much lighter. You know, you begin to, and then you got logistics and everything. So we're a little lighter right now, but it's definitely something that's on our radar and we're watching closely.
Well, And you've got the relationship with the packer. They don't necessarily want that lighter hog coming in, do they?
Right, and you get too light, and then you end up getting docked on the bottom side. Yeah. So you're trying to thread a needle, obviously, right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, Matt, the people that you're dealing with through extension, is there a common theme of what operations are doing to deal with the losses?
Yeah, I think. A lot of it right now, again, just keeping pigs alive is challenging with labor and labor being shortage. But, you know, I think disease pressures puts a whole other dynamic into it when you think about if you put $6 corn into a market hog and you lose them in late finishing, how costly that is. So I think just a matter of trying to keep, producers doing the best they can, much like what the other two have already listed, as far as just doing as best they can from an animal care and welfare standpoint, making sure we're maximizing throughput through barns and making sure every pig that, you know, starts on feed, we can take through all the way to the finished product, I think is, no different than what poor producers always do, but I think just heightens the awareness when you're talking about minimizing losses.
Yeah, yeah. Trish, I thought it was interesting when we came into the Varied Industries building, we had to walk through the checkpoint, had to walk through the sanitation mats and clean the bottom from our shoes doing that. Keeping those pigs alive, that is, if it's not, it's very close to the profitability issue, and keeping foreign ag diseases out of the country is paramount of importance.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, foreign animal disease is a concern that keeps pig farmers up at night, and I know that there's been a lot of work done with the Beagle Brigade and, you know, Customs and Border Patrol to keep it out, and I'm by no means a science expert, but they say it's basically, if it comes to a country, it's usually carried in by humans. You know, it's tracking it in. So the more that we can be vigilant at our borders, we're only as strong as our weakest link.
Yep.
So I know there's a luncheon today that MPPC is having where they're going to be talking a lot about the beagles and the foreign animal disease, like border security and stuff. So it's really interesting, and I appreciate what those animals are able to do for our industry.
Yeah, you know, we talk about the Beagle Brigade, and I think everybody in hog business knows what that is, but explain it to the consumers.
Yeah, the Beagles have been trained at a training center, I believe it's in Atlanta, and they're at the airports, and if you've traveled through an international airport, I've seen them several times, they are sniffing. It's not always right in front of you. Like, you'll see them at the baggage carousel, but they're also behind the scenes sniffing bags that are going through, and I always think they're looking just for pork, but they're looking for meat and for also vegetables, things that aren't supposed to be coming into this country from another country for not just foreign animal disease, but in, you know, the fruit case, like, you know, flies and insects and things that can come. So you'll see them with a trainer, with a Customs and Border Patrol officer, and they're just they use beagles because they're not an intimidating animal. They're, yep. you know, people like, oh, it's a beagle, it's friendly. And if they come and stand by your bag, then your bag has a problem. It's not yeah. because they're coming mm-hmm. to say hi to you.
That's right.
It's phenomenal. I had the opportunity to tour the USDA training facility in January. As part of our board responsibilities, we went down there, and then we went through the Atlanta airport, which is obviously one of the largest in the country. And so it was a little scary. You walked out, and that morning, we were there probably 11 or noon, and there was a table probably 30 foot long by 6 foot wide that had everything that had been confiscated that morning.
No.
And it was anything from meat to what Trish said, fruit but it's kind of fascinating to watch the training process. We got a chance to see those people are doing a fantastic job, and we just need to support them. We've been very appreciative of the legislature being bipartisan support to continue that that supporting that program, and so we definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, Matt, when we talk about animal diseases in Iowa, we can talk about bird flu forever because it's had such a big impact. Luckily, on the hog side of things, ever since PED, I mean, we're still dealing with issues out there on an annual basis, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I would say that, you know, there's been some PRRS virus variants that have really impacted the industry over the last 2-3 years. And I think you see some of the reporting out of Iowa State's veterinary diagnostic lab that would say that we've probably come back to the mean as far as PRRS positive cases across the Midwest. But I would say that, there through 21 and 22, it just seemed like there was never ending pressure. It just seemed like, you know, normally you can see a little bit of seasonality with some of those diseases and viruses, but it just seemed like PRRS was pretty damaging to the industry for about an 18-24 month stretch there. So
Pat, getting them to market weight is one thing, getting them to weaning is another, isn't it?
It's quite a challenge. Honestly,
certainly is, controlling those diseases. Okay, we've got another segment coming up on the Farmer Forum, and as you can tell, I've been pushing something back and pushing something back, but when we come back, we're going to hit Prop 12 and hit it pretty hard here in our final segment, okay? We're talking with Trish Cook and Matt Ramosier from Iowa and Pat Hord from Ohio here on the Farmer Forum on AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are live at the World Pork Expo down in Des Moines for this week's Farmer Forum with Trish Cook, president of the Iowa Pork Producers Council, Matt Ramosier from Washington County, Iowa, and Pat Hoard, a producer over in Ohio. Okay. We got to talk about Prop 12. It's a huge challenge for the industry and Iowa in particular. Matt and Trish, we had our Senator Grassley, on the show just yesterday talking about it, and he got worked up. I mean, worked up. He believes that Congress should take up legislation to override Prop 12. On the other hand, I see preparations to make sure that we are compliant with Prop 12 and don't lose a state that represents roughly 15% of the country's pork consumption. But if we don't take on Prop 3 legislative, or excuse me, Prop 12 legislatively, you know where the 3 is coming from. Mm-hmm. Now we got Massachusetts Q3 coming next, and who knows what next when it comes to interstate commerce.
Yep.
Trish, do we just prepare for Prop 12, or do you do everything that you can to support a legislator to write the language to override Prop 12?
For me, it's an easy answer. We legislatively need to go through Congress to override Prop 12. I did not read the 50-some pages in the SCOTUS opinion. The paraphrasing basically said it's a legislative issue, yeah, not a judicial issue. So that, to me, says, all right, we need to go to our representatives and our senators, and we need to figure out an answer.
Yeah. Matt, you on board with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's one of those things you can get into the question of the legality of it. But, I mean, the problem is that the worry about it becomes setting a precedent for other states and creating this, yeah, patchwork across, across all 50 states. There's, every state's going to have their own, regulations and guidelines that we have to follow, and ultimately just squeezes pork producers into a position where they're either forced to get out or forced to comply, right? So
right.
I think we have to be able to make it so it's a fair market across all states.
Absolutely. What do you think here, Pat?
Yeah, so I'm currently serving on the National Pork Producers Council Board of Directors, and we've been wrestling with this issue, obviously, since the ruling came down. And as Trish mentioned, the SCOTUS opinion called out the fact of a legislative option, and we think that's something that we're definitely in the process of pursuing and looking at, of how we could best craft that. Obviously, it's got to be bipartisan, and we've got to look at ways that we can get it passed, and the language and the devil's in the details. But I think that's definitely one path we're looking at. There's other things that we're trying to look at. How do you deal with sometimes in this industry we've set a standard for our own industry, but sometimes we're maybe not saying what we're for, more mm-hmm. what we're against.
Yeah.
And so we think there's an opportunity here to actually continue to reinforce that. We've got great programs, we care, and all
sure.
these other things. And so how do we wrestle through, and we've got a very diverse industry, and we've got and which is something we absolutely support and want to continue. But there's and so you have everywhere from small independent farms to integrated
yep.
packers that are involved in our industry. And so while we love the diversity of that, it also becomes everybody has a little different
yeah.
view on it. And so we're trying to get subjects and things that we can coalesce around. And
so,
yep.
Yeah, so I asked Senator Grassley about this yesterday, and I said, do you want it to be a standalone bill so that it's openly debated as an interstate commerce issue, or do you just put it into the farm bill?
Mm-hmm.
He said, if we put it in the farm bill, it's going to pass. But this is an issue that is so important that it should be a standalone bill first and foremost. If it can't, If it doesn't have the support there, then we look the farm bill route. Does that make sense?
It does. It's just always, is there enough time to get everything
yeah.
done? Nothing goes fast in legislation or in
yep.
D.C. So
that's a challenge. Yeah, things move slow there, and so we've been cautioned that how fast something like this can come together. So
right.
so. Obviously, we're working hard and trying to figure that out. But
that's true. But when they're motivated, things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You stand back and you throw your hands up and you think, how did they get that done so fast?
Yep.
That has happened. So if they're motivated to get it done, fingers crossed, they will get it done. But that legislative fix seems to be the best approach to dealing with Prop 12. Wow, I can't believe this. We're running out of time. Trish, what is your light at the end of the tunnel when we talk about the hog industry?
That's a great question. Right now, I am looking forward to see some legislative answers as far as stopping the animal activists from coming up with arbitrary rules to tell us how to raise our pigs, in the United States. Like, those rules aren't based on science or arbitrary, and they're have an ultimate goal of a meat-free society. So it's really tough to have those folks tell us how to raise our animals when I said our number one priority is good animal care every single day. So what motivates me every day is just seeing our pigs, seeing how much people enjoy our products, and knowing that we have just a delicious, nutritious, and economical protein source for people to enjoy.
Outstanding. Pat, we've got lots of challenges. Is it the financial side? Is it the labor side? Is it the input side? What's the biggest one that you want to face down?
Well, obviously, anytime you run a business, such as in pork mills, each one of them are important, and you have to address. And it's hard to say, well, this one's more important than the other. But we definitely think, independent producers, we have to continue to challenge ourselves. We've been through this before. Yep. We've had different times. We've had 98. Trish referenced that. We've had 2008 through 2010. And so, and we're resilient. We're going to figure this out. We're going to keep digging. So,
excellent. Yep. Excellent. Matt, stay optimistic out there, buddy. That's all we can really do.
Oh, absolutely.
And get through this.
Yep.
All right. Hey, thank you guys so much. Great conversation. Really appreciate it. Trish Cook and Matt Ramosier from Iowa. Pat Ford from Ohio. Great conversation, guys. Really appreciate it. All right. Hey, thanks for listening this morning. You got to come back this afternoon. We will be at the United Animal Health booth at the World Pork Expo with Don Close, U.S. Commodities.